you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the call over to Ms. Chris Follansbee. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of our SBI Hot Topics call. Today we have Mary Cipriani on the line. I'm not going to take a lot of time with introductions because I think most of you all know that Mary Cipriani is one of our SBI SMEs in North America, and she's done multiple calls like this before. But today she's going to take you into GPP, do a deep dive on showing you how you can be more effective entering your SBI opportunities. Want to tell you up front that for those of you all who joined us yesterday, you know we had a slight glitch with our presentation. Well, we have yet another one today, and we have just found out that it is not yet uploaded on the Partner World site. So if you do not yet have the presentation, I would recommend a couple things to you. The IBMers on the channel team have received that file from Kathy Johnson, so you could contact your IBM channel rep. Alternately, you could send an email to either myself, Kathy Johnson, or Karen Greco. We are all on standby to send these files out. I will caution you, it is a very large file, so I don't know how quickly we'll be able to do that. If you do elect to go that way, please send your note to only one of us, because we're trying not to crash the IBM systems right now. That would be kathyjoh at us.ibm.com for Kathy. Karen Greco is kgreco at us.ibm.com. And I am cf, like Frank, ollan at us.ibm.com. And we will try to get this out to you as quickly as possible. I will remind you that it will be recorded. So in the event that you don't get the presentation at the very beginning or even during the call, you will be able to get this information later and listen to the replay to maybe drill the information in a little bit better. Okay, with that, I will turn it over to Mary. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Well, our agenda on slide two will be discussing how to set up your Global Partner Portal access, how to create an opportunity record, and how to submit it for eligibility and payment, and also how to keep an eye on all of your data in the system via editing your list views and exporting pipeline data. Someone asked me the other day if I use Twitter, and with 95 slides in this deck, clearly I'm not capable of communicating in 140 characters or less. But don't worry, a lot of these pages are just backup details, and you can read and reference them later. We have folks listening in today who have GPP experience across the spectrum. Some of you have never logged on before, and some of you have been using GPP for a while. So, you know, just feel free to take a break if I'm covering a topic that you're already familiar with, but hopefully everybody will learn something today about the GPP tool that you didn't already know. Now, on slide three, you got to love Dilbert. You know, using Global Partner Portal and learning this SBI process can seem overwhelming at first. There's a lot to be aware of, but, you know, honestly, we're not trying to make it difficult for you. Global Partner Portal is used for multiple IBM partner programs and will continue to be used for even more territory management and tracking activities going forward. So if you haven't learned how to use it yet, you will. And while GPP is sometimes hard to navigate, SBI pays very handsomely. In 2009, we paid SBI fees on approximately 1,000 opportunity records in North America, representing over $200 million of IBM software revenue sold by our business partners. So clearly, it's worth the effort. SBI is what allows our business partners to increase their profitability, and it protects the time and effort you've invested in our customers. SBI is the value program that we are promoting to our business partners, and GPP is the method by which we are delivering the SBI program. Let's look at slide four. So the first question is, well, how do I log on? You log on to Global Partner Portal URL with the same ID and password that you use for other password-protected Partner World sites. Now, if you don't already have an IBM ID or if a new user from your firm needs access, here's the link to use to request an IBM ID. Now, your ability to access GPP and what you are able to do, view only versus edit and create, is dependent on what your firm's authorized profile administrator has cleared you to access. Let's go to slide 5. This slide shows you the different job roles that your APA can assign to you or to a manager from your firm. So you need to decide who from your firm will be responsible for these different tasks. Once your firm has been approved to join the SBI program, your firm's APA will receive a confirmation email with the logon URL. IBM only sets up the initial logon profile for a single APA, a single user from your firm. Your APA is then responsible for accessing Partner World Profile and adding more employees from your firm and assigning access, the create or view only, and assign job roles to them. And if your APA needs help with any of these profile tasks, work with the GPP help desk. Let's go to slide 6. One of the first problems people encounter is using an unsupported browser or they have pop-up blockers installed. So be sure to check that you have a supported environment. Let's go to slide 7. Another common issue for new users is getting used to the look and feel of the GPP application. It runs in a browser, but it does not behave like a typical browser Java application. So here are some examples of how you'll navigate on the screen. You'll click on a chevron, which looks like a greater than sign, to select a line item, which then highlights it in yellow. If text, such as an opportunity number, is highlighted in blue, that indicates that it's a hot link. I can click on that opportunity number to open and access that record. You'll click on a control icon, which looks like a little box with a check mark inside it. That's what launches a pop-up window. Query bars are formatted a couple of different ways. Notice the title on this example is already locked into doing a query of a value that is starting with, so you must precisely enter that match. There are scroll arrows. You can click on a little triangle to advance to the next screen, so don't make the mistake of looking for something like a window scroll bar and only looking at what's currently displayed on your screen. There are some screens that will display only so many choices, such as the first 10 line items. So if you want to expand that choice, you have to click on a show more arrow. There are also sort arrows that you use to alphabetize or reverse alphabetize a list. And also make note that you can only type or do data entry in a field that is blank and plain. If the field has a control icon or a list arrow next to it, you cannot type in those fields. Your data entry should always be in proper mixed case. Don't type in all caps. You'll also notice that the screen will refresh in between each field that you advance through. So if you notice a slight flicker or if it looks like it's pausing for a second or two as you advance to the next field, that's normal. So don't get too fast ahead of yourself, because if you start to try entering data in one field before the one you just completed has finished refreshing, it'll wipe out whatever you were typing in the meantime. Let's go to slide 8. I just want to point out that you'll want to adjust your time zone setting in your personal profile. Sometimes partners will ask, why does GPP say that I created this opportunity at 1 a.m.? And that's because all opportunity timestamps are synced to GMT time zone, which is 5 hours ahead of East Coast time. You know, that way, a partner who's located on the East Coast and clicks the submit button at 3 p.m., and a partner on the West Coast who clicks the submit button at 12 noon, both of those records will appear in GPP as 8 p.m. GMT time zone. So if you have multiple people from your firm entering opportunities, our suggestion is that you all use the same time zone, so that your view of the timestamps is consistent. Let's go to slide 9. Now, this is an error message that you will all see frequently. You have to click the Save button many times throughout the various data entry screens, and if you forget to click the Save button, you will see this error message. Now, the thing I want to point out is that the logic of this question is the reverse of what we are accustomed to in using Microsoft Windows applications. If I'm exiting my PowerPoint or Word document without saving, the message is, do you want to save your changes? And I answer, yes, I want to save. But look at the wording of this GPP question. You have unsafe changes. Do you want to continue? So if you answer this question yes or okay, what you're saying is, yes, I want to continue without saving my changes. So just want to make sure you're aware of that. Let's go to slide 10. Now, this is the main screen that you'll see when you first log on to GPP. There will be notifications posted here for planned system outages and information on things such as new releases. You should see 7 main tabs across the top of your screen: Home, Partner Locator, Opportunities, Accounts, Contacts, Partner, and Activities. We call these the main tabs. Now, the vast majority of your time with SVI is going to be spent working from the main Opportunities tab. If you don't see all 7 of these tabs when you log on, call the GPP help desk, because you should, all SVI users should see all 7 of these tabs. Let's go to slide number 11. Now, we'll start to create a new opportunity by clicking New from the main Opportunities tab. We refer to the top half of the GPP opportunity screen as the header record, and then you'll see tabs across the bottom, which we refer to as the opportunity tabs. To complete an opportunity record for SVI, you need to complete fields found both on the header record on the top half of the GPP screen and throughout the opportunity tabs on the bottom half of the GPP screen. So we'll click New from the Opportunities tab to get started, and let's go to slide 12. Once you've clicked the New button from the main Opportunities tab, the image on the bottom half of this slide is an example of what you'll initially see displayed in GPP. Now, remember, Global Partner Portal is used for multiple different programs: SVI for software, BCC, or bid certification for hardware, OM, which is opportunity management for co-marketing and lead passing. And there are basic fields required no matter what type of opportunity record you're creating. All opportunities will have an account, a description, a revenue total, a decision date. Those fields are required for any and all types of opportunity records for all the different programs, and those will be indicated with a red asterisk. But there are additional fields required just for SVI, same as there are different fields required if it's a BCC or OM opportunity, and different fields that worldwide partners in other countries use. So, for example, Contact doesn't have a red asterisk, but it is required for the SVI program. ITAR is required for bid cert BCC opportunities, but we ignore that item. So you can see here, there's some fields that are system-generated, which I've highlighted in yellow, and there are additional fields highlighted in green on the header record that are needed for an SVI opportunity. And you can ignore the rest of the fields on the header record. Let's go to slide 13. So starting a new draft opportunity record is a two-step process. You need to create some basics on the header record, enter the account, enter a description, a sales stage, select the restriction checkboxes, and the probability odds. Then save, go back to the main opportunity list, and then reopen the record to continue working with it. You won't see the various tabs displayed across the bottom half of the GPP screen until you do that save and reopen of the record. Now, occasionally a partner will call us to say that they don't see a tab for SVI on the bottom half of their screen. So unless your profile has been set up for the SVI program and or the bid cert program, you won't see that tab. So if SVI is missing, call the GPP help desk for assistance. You know, similarly, if you're a hardware partner, you would see a BCC tab across the bottom. Now, let's talk about the elements we need to add on the screen. We'll review creating an account, the confidentiality checkboxes, and entering revenue. So let's start with accounts on slide 14. Now, we'll click the account control icon to access the pick account window. The initial list that is displayed are account records that you've used on previous opportunities. Your account list is tied into your user ID. So if another GPP user from your firm create an account, you won't see it here. You can click the chevron next to the account record you desire to highlight that line in yellow, and then click OK. Now, there's two choices on Pick Account, New and Query. We'll click Query to search IBM's marketing database, or we'll click on New to create a new account that is not currently on your pick list or in the IBM database. For SBI purposes, you can ignore the local record check mark. That's just a database indicator. Okay, so before we take a look at how to query or how to create a new record, I want to go on a brief tangent to the account tab on the next slide, slide 15. So recall we got to that screen on the previous slide by starting on the Opportunities tab and clicking New, and then we got a pop-up window of all the account records we've previously entered into GPP. As part of your initial setup, I suggest you first go to the Accounts tab and load up your top 10 or 20 customers. I think it's easier for new users to first load all of their top customer accounts rather than using that pop-up from the Opportunities tab. That way, when you're creating a new opportunity, the account data will already appear in your pick list and be ready for you to choose from it. So you can either start here on the Accounts tab and load up the accounts that you want to use, or you can add them as you go along each time that you create a new opportunity. All right, now I also want to point out something here about the Query button. Notice in the Show window, which is directly beneath and to the left of Accounts, notice how that Show window says My BP Active Accounts. So if you click Query here, what you're querying is your list of accounts. So now let's take a look instead at how you would query the IBM database on slide 16. So we're on the Main Opportunities tab. Recall that we clicked New to start creating our initial draft opportunity record, and then we clicked on the Control icon next to the Account Name field, and we got that Pick Account pop-up where we had two choices, New or Query. So we want to query the IBM database prior to creating our own version of the account record. Now, when you are querying, leave the alternate name and katakana fields blank. Those fields are used by our Asia-Pacific partners. And you should also leave the IBM customer number field blank. Most of you on this call will already have United States or Canada selected as a country. But if you are participating in SBI in multiple countries, be sure to select country first before selecting the state field. Otherwise, you'll get every state and province abbreviation worldwide. So I want to search for a customer in my neighborhood. I live in the Cleveland, Ohio area, and Goodyear Tire is here in Akron. But is their name Goodyear Tire or the Goodyear Tire Company, or is it Goodyear Inc.? Is there a space or a hyphen or an ampersand between good and year? Is the Y capitalized or not? So you're not going to know how this record might appear in the IBM database, so you need to be a little broad in your search and use asterisk, which is the wild card, asterisk good, asterisk ear. And then let's take a look at the results on slide 17. Okay, so my results, and this was a real query that I did in the system and got this screenshot. So here are my results. Now, I found 27 records. I want you to notice all the variety in the name spelling and the addresses, and I can click on that triangle in the upper right corner to scroll through the list of all of the choices available. Now, you need to register in GPP using the name and address as it appears on their current passport contract, and we know that this customer has their headquarter location and the originating site of their passport contract as the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company on East Market Street in Akron, Ohio. So the first one listed here, highlighted in yellow, the account name is correct, but the address is not. Don't pick it. The second one, the address is correct, matches their passport contract, but the account name is not right. It just says Goodyear. Don't pick it. So remember, this is a marketing database that you are querying. Privacy laws do not permit us to load actual installed customer passport data, so you may or may not find a valid matching customer record that meets your needs. If you don't find an exact match to what you need, click cancel and instead create your own account record. You know, if it's kind of close, don't pick it. Just because it appears on this list does not make it a valid choice. All right, let's look at some more examples on slide 18. Now, one thing I wanted to point out is that notice how some of these account records have a customer number associated to it. What that tells you is whomever is the IBMer that has that customer number assigned to their territory, they're the sales rep who's going to be able to see it in the CRM Siebel system if and when you share the record with IBM. So by picking an account record from the query results, you're helping IBM be efficient in this step of sharing data between the GPP and CRM Siebel systems. Now, if you enter your own account record from scratch, IBM has a database team that goes through an exercise of searching for and matching your account and linking it to an assigned IBM customer number. So just a quick side note about accounts with customer numbers that get matched to the IBM database. This action could result in an edit or update to an account record that you created. So, for example, if I entered this from scratch as Goodyear Tire, once IBM matched it to an account record, you would see the account name change in GPP to the Goodyear Tire. So if I'm sorting alphabetically and I'm looking under my G's, you know, where's my Goodyear opportunity? Well, now it's under T for the Goodyear. And usually this is just going to be minor edits, like, you know, you entered Inc. instead of Incorporated, or DR instead of Drive, or maybe Drive instead of Avenue, or 1ST instead of First. So, you know, you're not going crazy or imagining things by thinking, you know, I swear I entered it as A, but now it displays as B. So that's what is causing those edits to be made. And again, don't choose something just because it appears in the query results. You know, just because it appears on this list doesn't make it valid for SVI purposes. Never choose a record that displays a PO box. So scroll through the list. Find the one that you want to use, highlight that line in yellow by clicking the chevron next to the left of the record, and then click OK and save. So let's go to slide 19. Now here, I just wanted to show you a comparison of query results. So instead of asterisk good asterisk ear asterisk, I just did a plain search on Goodyear, or, you know, I tried to restrict it further by putting in a city or a zip code, and I got no results. But if I include the asterisk in the wildcard, I got 27 results. So I just want to use that for illustration to show that you really need to do a very broad search, include a leading and trailing asterisk wildcard, and in between two if there might be some odd capitalization or abbreviation or punctuation in the name. Let's go to slide 20. Okay, so let's say we didn't find a match to the account name and address we need, and instead we need to create a new account. So, again, start by clicking the control icon next to the account field, and this time we're going to click New. We'll enter it here using their full legal name as it appears on their passport contract. We complete all the fields on this account pop-up and click Save. Now, if they have a current passport, your distributor or your IBM channel rep can advise you regarding the name and address on that contract. And you should also research if there is an originating site or additional sites to that contract. Are there any alternate names or a different bill to or ship to on that contract? If they don't have a current passport contract or you're just not aware if they have an existing contract, then use the main company headquarter location. Your sales reps should know where the decision makers are located or which location of this firm is responsible for executing purchase orders. That'll give you the information you need to determine the name and address to use on the GPP opportunity record and on the BANT form. And you can refer to that BANT form and SVI operations guide for more detailed examples of this. Now, in my example, Goodyear is headquartered in Akron, Ohio, and they have a passport with originating site in Akron, but they also have multiple additional bill-to and ship-to sites around the country for various plants and offices. Each IBM customer is different. Some have centralized purchasing, and some have decision makers or IT departments located elsewhere. Some customers have each remote location managing their own budgets and buying their own licenses on their own passport contracts, but maybe they just simply link to the parent company contract for discounts. So you need to understand how your customers are structured and how they purchase and register the opportunity accordingly. We can't possibly write up a process for this in the SBA operations guide because there's absolutely no consistency or predictability in how companies are organized or how they've chosen to have their passport contracts set up. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but I just want to say that, you know, this is why it's very important to provide detailed information on your BANT form, especially for large enterprise accounts. You need to register the opportunity in GPP using the name and address on the passport contract, and you need to list on the BANT form the alternate names. So you need to describe, is this sale to a headquarter location? Is it a centralized purchase to be rolled out to multiple remote offices? Or is this sale to a remote office that has nothing to do with a duplicate that we might find for those same products being sold to a headquarter location? Or, you know, are you calling on a local office where the project is located and the decision makers are located, but the purchase is going to be made via a parent company contract, which is located elsewhere? So it's very important that you provide the alternate names and addresses for two reasons. One, we have to do a proper and thorough duplicate search. And two, at payment processing time, we need to know which passport contracts to consider for that matching sales order. Let's go to slide 21. Okay, well, so far we've spent less than 5 minutes creating this initial shell of the opportunity record by filling out the minimal basics on the header and saved that record and reopened it. So before you go any further, the first thing I want you to do is look at the More Info tab. And, you know, oops, I entered a P.O. box, or the address and the account name isn't what I needed. So do not continue to use or update this opportunity record. Because notice the control icon no longer appears next to the account name field. You can't make any edits to the account. So do not spend, you know, another 15 or 30 minutes continuing to update and work with an opportunity record that straight off the bat contains an invalid name and address. So delete it and start over. Now, here's a tip. Until you start getting experience with the GPP tool, don't move your opportunity beyond a sale stage one until you're sure that it's a keeper, because you cannot delete a record from your list view if it has ever moved beyond a sale stage one. So if you want to play around with a draft opportunity for your education purposes and then delete that record, leave it in sale stage one. But if you have a bad record and you ever set it to higher than a sale stage four, you're going to be looking at it in your list queue for a long, long time. So let's go to slide 22. Now, one other thing that we have to choose on the header record is the restriction field. This is a key piece of the opportunity management function that relates to SBI opportunity records in GPP. You must select these two checkboxes and click Save from this initial screen, because you can't restrict it later. Once it's shared, you cannot make it confidential again. So we recommend that you always start with them selected, and you can always choose to remove them later. If you want direct sales IBMers to see your opportunity, remove these two checkboxes. If you don't want to share it with IBM Direct, then leave it selected. Now, the default when you first start to create a new opportunity is that these two checkboxes are deselected or shared with IBM. And also, the default for any lead passed to you via the OM program is that they are deselected. So, again, select both to keep it confidential, or deselect and remove the checkboxes to share it with IBM Direct. So I want to emphasize that these checkboxes control the flow of your opportunity to CRM Siebel, which is the system used by IBM Direct sales reps. Now, compared to your IBM channel reps, who happen to have two different ways to view your opportunity records, IBM channel reps can view your opportunity in Global Partner Portal or in CRM Siebel, and that's because IBM channel reps use both systems. IBM direct reps do not have access to GPP. So an IBM direct rep, such as a telesales rep or a client rep or a brand specialist, can only see your opportunity in CRM Siebel and only see it if, one, you share it by removing these flags, and two, by adding their name to your sales team tab. And we'll review sales team details later. But no IBMer will ever be able to edit or delete your opportunity. They have view-only access. Now, also, once you've closed your opportunity as sales stage 7, won, and complete, at that time, it will flow to CRM Siebel, even if you had initially restricted it. Because if you think about it, you know, once a sales order is in our passport system, it's really not a confidential secret anymore that the customer bought something. So if it's sales stage 7, at that point, it flows to Siebel. Now, whether or not you choose to share it with IBM Direct is really going to depend on your working relationship that you have with those IBMers. If you share it, be prepared that those direct IBMers are then going to expect regular updates from you for a forecast perspective. So here's a key difference. You know, you can create an opportunity for SVI and not claim it until it closes, and thus not update that record until it closes. So theoretically, an SVI opportunity could be in GPP for 9 months without any updates. There's nothing in the current SVI program requirements and rules that require you to update your records. Of course, we'd like you to keep them updated, but there's nothing programmatically that says you have to. But keep in mind, GPP is used for multiple programs and multiple reasons. And for the OM, Opportunity Management Program function, you are required to keep your records updated and progress through a sales cycle. SVI is a partner incentive program compared to OM, which is all about territory management and forecasting and lead passing. But both of these programs use GPP. So if you're sharing an opportunity, those IBMers are going to expect to see updates to the forecast date and the odds and the revenues being progressed over time. And even if you don't share it with IBM Direct, we really, really want you to share the information with your IBM channel rep and keep that record updated for forecasting purposes. And we'll talk more about that later. Go to slide 23. Now, this is the message that you'll get if you move off that header screen without selecting those checkboxes. This message only pops up when you initially create the record. And if you initially restrict the record, you can always choose to share it later, but once you've shared it, you can't re-restrict it. Let's go to slide 24. Okay, so we've created the initial draft opportunity record and completed the basic fields on the header record, and now we're going to save and reopen the opportunity to continue working with the tabs that appear across the bottom half of the screen. So we checked the address on the More Info tab, and now we'll go to the Revenue tab. We're going to click the New button, and the initial screen that is displayed is shown here on the bottom half of this slide. The bill date default is 3 months from today's date, so you need to edit this as appropriate. The brand field is system generated, and that maps to the reseller authorization group name. The brand certification achieved, the default initial value is N, and that will refresh once you click Save. The win probability has a default initial value of 10%, and when you're submitting for SVI eligibility, you can pick any value between 10 and 75%. You'll leave the flow code and platform blank. Those fields are not required for SVI. And for your convenience, there's a hot link on the revenue screen to click on the PDF icon that appears next to the brand family field, which launches the latest online SVI eligible parts list. So let's look at slide 25. Next, we'll click the control icon next to the type field to select a product type. So don't do data entry into this field. You need to select your choice using the pop-up window. Now, for most SBI opportunities, the type will typically be software, but for some products, notably system storage software, those are under the systems and technology group type. Now, you want to select a type prior to selecting a brand family, because otherwise you'll get every single brand family associated with every single type. The initial brand family list that is displayed is not alphabetized or in any order, so you need to use the sort arrows and scroll through that entire list. And note here on the Find search bar, the query of this, the default query is starting with. So if I wanted a query for Lotus, if I just plugged in the word Lotus here, I won't get any results. I literally have to type software with a capital S, a colon, a single space, and then a capital L. And if I query on that, I then get my list of all of the Lotus products I can choose from, and then I'll click the chevron next to the line item I want to highlight it in yellow to select it, and then click OK. Next, let's go to slide 26. When I initially create the revenue item, the brand certification value has a default of N or no. And once I click Save, GPP will check the certifications in your SBI profile and update this from N to Y as appropriate. The brand, in this case, Lotus Open, that's a system-generated value. And for revenue, you can either enter a quantity 1, leave price per unit blank, and then enter total revenue, or enter a quantity times price per unit and let GPP calculate the total revenue for you. You should also click on the Recalculate Revenue button after making any edits to the Revenue tab. You have to click this to refresh and update the total revenue field that appears on the top half of the screen in your header record. And be sure to click on Save after each edit. You want to ignore the Launch Attach Connector button on this tab. That's not for SBI opportunities. So now if you happen to create an opportunity record for which you are not currently certified and then you later got the certification, when you come back here to the Revenue tab, what you need to do is open and save that line item to force the system to refresh the value in the Brand Certification Achieved column. And then once that has refreshed from an N to a Y, then you'll be able to proceed with submitting it for SBI. So now this is how you would enter revenue from the Revenue tab. There's also a revenue field on the header record, and you could enter the data there too. So let's look at slide 27 to see what that looks like. Now there is a control icon next to the field for detailed revenue data on the header record on the top half of your screen. And the pop-up data entry screen that you get here looks a little different than what you saw on the previous slide, but all the data entry fields are the same. So if you're on the header record and you select Sales Stage 4, you are immediately forced to this tangent. You must enter at least one revenue line item from this pop-up before you can proceed any further. But remember I said earlier, you might want to leave it in Sales Stage 1 until you're sure it's a good record so that you can attain the ability to delete it. So again, leave it at Sales Stage 1 at this point to allow yourself to delete it later or to avoid having to enter revenue right now. But then you have to remember to change it later to Sales Stage 4 before you can submit it for SBI. Okay, so of course the next question comes up on slide 28. What brand family do I pick? You always need to use the latest online version of the SBI eligible parts list. It gets updated on average about once a month, and products do move and change. And you can see here the relationship between the columns and data on the SBI eligible parts list to the values that you select in GPP on the Revenue tab. The brand field, again, is system generated, and that relates to the reseller authorization group or product group that you need to be certified in. The SBI eligible parts list is sorted alphabetically by brand family and then by part number. And you can use the search bar on that PDF file to search for a specific part number. Now, if you don't know the part number, then search by keyword. So, for example, I can see that all of the various Lotus email products are all listed under the Lotus Notes Domino brand family. So even if my sales rep hasn't given me a part number, I can feel confident that Lotus Notes Domino brand family is the right choice that I want. But be cautious searching by product name, as multiple abbreviations are used. For example, the Content Manager product. On some line items, it's called Content Manager. Then it's Cont MGR, and then it's CM. And then there's also three different brand families called ECM something or another. There are products called InfoSphere something or another in the Data Management brand family and the InfoSphere Warehouse brand family in the Information Management Services brand family. So do not make any assumptions based on product name. Use the eligible part list. Let's go to slide 29. Now, with SVP, we split products into open and closed distribution, and accordingly, you'll see multiple brand families with both an open or closed flavor in GPP. And here's just a few examples on this slide. So if you know that you're definitely selling part number X, and that's the only thing you're selling, then by all means, just register the brand family associated with that product. But if there's any doubt, the best thing is to always register both. This is one of the most common errors and problems that we run into with registered opportunities, because Murphy's Law is that if you only registered Rational Software Configuration Management, the part number that you end up selling to your customer will be in Rational Software Config Management Open. We also see this with Tivoli Storage. If you're going to register a Tivoli Storage opportunity, especially for the TPC product, those part numbers also appear in system storage software. Now, another question that arises is, what if version 1 of the part number is out now and I register for SVI and my opportunity is good for 9 months, but by then I know that version 2 of the product will be shipping, and so obviously the part number doesn't exist yet. I can't look up that part number on the list, so what brand family should I pick? Now, in that scenario, the vast, vast majority of the time, the new version 2 of the product will be added to the SVI list in the same brand family as the previous version 1. So just use whatever brand family corresponds to the current version 1 of the product. Now, what we won't allow is for you to register a product that isn't even out yet. You know, for example, we get asked, well, IBM just acquired company X, and I want to register a deal for that. You know, you have to wait for the product to be added to the SVI eligible parts list. If it's not on the list, you can't submit it for SVI. And also remember, you cannot add or edit brand families to an approved opportunity. So if your project grows over time to include more products, more brand families than you originally registered, you're going to need to submit a new opportunity record. Let's look at slide number 30. Okay, now on the previous slide, we talked about what brand family I should choose. Now, this slide is for what brand family you can choose. Now, you can pick any brand family, but you're only going to be able to submit it for SVI eligibility if you're certified. Just a note on the hierarchy of our software. We have thousands of part numbers that roll up into 50 or so brand families, and those 50 or 60 different brand families roll up into 20-ish reseller authorization groups. So again, part numbers roll up to brand families which belong to a reseller authorization group. You register in GPP by brand family, and that brand family is going to belong to either an open or closed reseller authorization group, and that then ties into the SVP certifications that your firm has approved in your SVI enrollment. Now, you will get an N in the brand family participation column if that product is not eligible for SVI. So don't include any line items for products or brand families that are not on the eligible part list. So for example, here I've got Lotus Services and Consulting, but none of the part numbers in that brand family are on the SVI eligible list. If there is an N in the brand certification achieved column, that means you don't have the certs in your SVI profile. If you're getting an N in the brand certification achieved column, but you think it should be a Y, you need to check your Partner World profile to ensure that your certifications are appearing. Typically, what we'll notice is that a partner has been approved for the SVI program, but has neglected to request that same reseller authorization group for the SBI program. So there's nothing automatic. Just because you got approved for SVP, there's no linkage. You have to proactively log on to Partner World Profile and request that same reseller authorization group that you got SVP approval on to be added to your SVI approval. So if you get a new cert or you update your profile, when you return to this revenue tab on the opportunity, you would need to edit and resave that revenue line item to refresh the value from a no to a yes. And then another question comes up is, well, what happens to my approved certifications if my approved SBI opportunities if I lose a certification? So, for example, same time has moved to closed distribution, but I don't have a certification in the new social software reseller authorization group. Now, if I have an opportunity that is already approved and in eligible status, it remains approved and I can still claim SVI. Now, I might not be able to resell the passport licenses because you don't have the SVP requirements to resell that brand family anymore, but your SVI opportunity is still active. However, you won't be able to submit any new same-time opportunities for SVI until you get your new certifications and request that reseller authorization group to be added to your SVI profile. Approval for Software ValueNet products involves both certifications and meeting other requirements. So if you have a Y in brand certification achieved for ValueNet, such as Cognos or Optum or FileNet, that's a result of having both certifications and also having been approved for the ValueNet program. Let's take a look at slide 31. Those yeses and nos on the brand certification achieved and brand certification participation columns both need to be a yes in order to be able to submit that line item for SVI. If none of the line items on your opportunity have a Y in both columns, you'll get an error message when you try to proceed to the SVI tab telling you that you can't submit it for SVI. If at least one of the line items is good, even if the others are bad, then you'll get an error message suggesting that you return to the revenue tab and remove that line item. You can choose to ignore this message and still submit the whole opportunity, but that line item is automatically going to be marked as ineligible. Let's look at slide 32. You'll also get an error message if you try to add more than one line item for the same brand family. And again, once you're approved, you cannot add any new line items to the revenue tab. If you try to add another brand family, you'll get an error message, a pretty big error message at that, you know, four lines of red text telling you no, and that line item will automatically be coded by GPP as ineligible. Let's look at slide 33. Now, here's a reference you can use to guide as to the appropriate sales stage to select for your opportunity. Now, note that probability odds appear in two places. On the header record, we're looking for the overall opportunity odds. And then on the revenue tab, we're looking for odds for a particular line item. If there's only one revenue line item on your opportunity, these two percentage values should be the same. But you could have a scenario with multiple revenue line items. You know, perhaps the overall odds for closing this customer deal is 50%, and the main product that you're trying to sell is also 50%, but you have a second revenue line item because you're trying to also upsell another product, and maybe that second line item is only rated as 10% odds. But the odds, when you make an update on your revenue tab, that is not tied into the header record. You have to update it in both places. And a lot of times we'll see opportunities submitted for payment, and the odds, you know, was updated in the header but not on the revenue tab or vice versa. So be sure to update it in both places. Go to slide 34. Well, the next question we get is, well, what revenue do I enter in GPP? At opportunity registration time, use your best guess estimate of what the total new license revenue will be. You can continue to update and edit the quantity and price per unit and total revenue up until the time that you submit it for payment request. Again, you can't edit the brand family choice. If you need to add or change your brand family, you have to submit a new opportunity record. But you can edit the quantity, the price per unit, and the total revenue at any time up until you submit the payment claim. Again, new license revenue only, and use the lower of either the passport entitled price or, if there's a special bid, the discounted list price. So in this example, the customer has a passport contract with Level D, and the licenses at Level D are priced at $45K. But then there's a special bid dropping that from $45K to $40K. But, you know, then here's the price that my VAD charged me or the price that I sold it to the customer. You would submit this in GPP using the $40K special bid price. If there wasn't a special bid in this scenario, then you would use the $45K Level D price as an example. Okay, let's go to slide 35. This question actually came up on the call that Chris hosted yesterday. At payment claim time, we only allow a single sales order to be matched to an opportunity record. So what happens if not all the products are going to be purchased at the same time? So unless you are certain that all the products will be ordered at the same time as part of the same deal, then it's best to register separate opportunities for each brand family. Or you could even submit multiple opportunities for the same brand family. You know, another example, let's say your original opportunity was approved for two brand families, but now you're closing the sales order and the customer only wants to buy brand family number one, and they plan to order brand family number two later. So you want to submit a replacement record that brand family number two hasn't closed yet and include a reference in the description to your earlier approved opportunity. And then once your replacement record is approved, submit the first one for payment, and your first line item would be 100% odds, and your second line item would be 0% odds and $0. You know, another example is the phased rollout. You know, in the description field, you could actually refer to it as phase one, phase two, phase three, and have it reflect different forecasted close dates. You know, or maybe the description of opportunity number one would reference a Chicago headquarter location, and opportunity number two would be the remote site in Indianapolis, and opportunity number three would be for their St. Louis office. Another question we get is, can I submit more than one opportunity for the same brand family? And the answer is yes, of course. So you could have opportunity number one for product X in the Tivoli Automation brand family, opportunity number two for product Y in the Tivoli Automation brand family, opportunity number three for product Z in the Tivoli Automation brand family. So again, if not all the licenses or all the brand families are going to be purchased at the same time on the same sales order, then it's best to register separate opportunities for each brand family for each phase of the project. This makes things the cleanest and easiest for submitting your payment request later. Let's go to slide 36. Now, you cannot use BCC BidCert records for SVI, but you could reuse an OM opportunity record for the SVI program. Now, obviously, these are leads that will be approved for sell only because it's the very definition of being a sales resource on an opportunity. IBM ID'd it and has passed the lead to you. Now, whoever from your firm is the BP Opti focal point needs to log on to GPP and accept that passed lead by changing the Opti accept status from pending to accepted. But don't accept. Don't confuse that GPP status with overall SVI status. That GPP status field has nothing to do with your SVI approval. If you have accepted a past lead from IBM, this field will be accepted. And also, when you create the opportunity in GPP, it'll have a default value of accepted. So when a BP Opti focal point accepts that lead, initially they're going to be the only person on the sales team tab. The BP Opti focal has to go to the sales team tab and add other users from your firm. Otherwise, they'll never know, they'll never see that your firm accepted that lead, and they could most likely end up creating a duplicate record. Leads can get passed to you that include both hardware and software, or maybe there's more than one line item for the same brand family. And in the cases of multiple line items for the same brand family, you would need to consolidate that revenue onto a single line. Once you've accepted the lead, make updates to it just as you would for any other opportunity record. Add a BANT form to the Attachments tab, add contacts, adjust the revenue as needed, and then submit it for SBI. Being first in CRM Siebel or being past the lead is not a guarantee of SBI. You must be first in GPP, not first in CRM Siebel. So just because a lead was passed to you is no guarantee of SBI approval. Another BP could have submitted and been approved prior to the IBMer creating this record and passing it to you. Let's go to slide 37. Brand families can and do change. That's why it's very important to always use the latest online version of the SBI eligible parts list when registering a deal. When someone submits for payment, it's usually at this point that we notice there's an issue with the brand family mismatching. You register both open and closed versions of products to avoid these problems. We also have situations where a part number might move from one brand family to another. And the key here is which brand family was that part number in at the time that it registered. Here's an example of a part number that moved from the Rational Automated Software Quality brand family to RASQ Open on April 19th. And that'll be noted in the comments section of the SBI eligible parts list. Now, if I submitted my opportunity in GPP on April 16th prior to IBM making this change, then GPP and the payment system is smart enough to know that you did have the correct brand family at the time that this deal was registered. However, if IBM moved it on the 19th and you registered in GPP on the 20th after IBM had moved it, then you picked the wrong brand family and the error is yours and the line item won't be eligible. Now, we're usually tolerant of this kind of mistake and give you a get-out-of-jail-free card because this is a common error for new users, but we can't allow, continued repeated brand family errors. So I really can't emphasize enough the importance of using the latest online list and registering both the open and closed brand families. You may also see the name of the brand family change in the GPP tool. So you're not imagining things if you're thinking, I swear this used to be called WebSphere Portal before, and now it says Portal Segment. So this is just an example where IBM decided to rename it, and all the opportunities in GPP that used to have this old brand family will now have a new brand family. And there's no action on your part needed for this type of name change. Let's go to slide 38. Okay, well, next we move to the Attachments tab on the bottom half of our GPP screen. This is where we're going to upload our BANT form and our sales documentation. And please do not email your files to us. That would just kill our inboxes. I can't upload them for you, and we cannot formally evaluate anything that wasn't attached in the GPP tool. You'll click on New and then click on the Control icon next to the Attachment Name field to get to the pop-up menu. The Browse button gives you a standard Windows interface to point to the desired file on your local hard drive or network, and then just click Add. We prefer that you use Microsoft Office or PDF format. Please don't use the new Microsoft .docx or PPTX format, and please don't use executable files. All right, let's continue to slide 39. Here's the other fields that we'll complete. Release to IBM needs to be checked, otherwise we won't be able to view your attachments. Pick a document type and also enter descriptive comments and then click Save. Let's go to slide 40. When you submit for eligibility, you'll add your completed BANT attachment, and when you're submitting for payment request, add your supporting sales documentation. Let's go to slide 41. Next up is the Contacts tab. You'll click Add to access the Add Contacts pop-up window, which includes customer contacts that you've used on earlier opportunities. You can query this list or scroll through a list of existing contacts. Tick the checkbox to select a person and then click OK, and then click Save on the Contacts tab. Now, recall I showed you earlier how you could go to the main Accounts tab and upload like your top 10 or 20 accounts. And then you would be able to pick from those accounts on the pop-up whenever you created a new opportunity record. Well, similarly, there's a main contacts tab. You could first go there and load up all of your top customer contacts, and then they would automatically appear on this pop-up list here, or you just add them one at a time with every new opportunity that you create. So if the person you want to add isn't already on your pick list, then let's go to slide 42 to see how we can add them. From the Add Contacts pop-up window, we're going to click New to create a new contact. The required fields for SBI are first and last name, title, email, and phone. Your customer contact should be a C-level or line of business executive. Purchasing and procurement are not acceptable because that would be indicative of a license fulfillment scenario, and that type of opportunity is not eligible for the SBI incentive. Let's go to slide 43. Also, I just want to take a quick break here. It's 2 o'clock. I know that we had sent out the invitation saying that this call was going to be an hour long, and we're really going to go more like an hour 15 minutes. So if you bear with me and continue listening, I'll finish blasting through the rest of these slides. And if you have to drop off, we will post the MP3 file, and you can listen to the remainder later. Okay, so the contact tab is for customer contacts. The sales team tab is what you use for employees from your firm and also to add IBMers. Now, if you're the creator of an opportunity, your name will appear on the sales team tab as the primary owner of that opportunity. You need to add other employees from your firm as sales team members before they will be able to see the opportunity in their view. Or if you're set up in GPP as a manager, you would then have access to view other opportunities created by those sales reps that report to you. But anyone has to be added to the sales team before they can see the record, and you can also make somebody else the primary. So, for example, if you are the BP Opti focal point and you received a lead that was passed via the OM program, you have to add other employees from your firm to the sales team tab before they're going to be able to see the record and work with it. So here's a little funny programming issue we noticed. We forgot to include the add or new button on the sales team tab. We'll fix that in a future release of GPP. So it might not be immediately obvious to you how to add people to your sales team. So what you need to do is click on the control icon next to the sales team field to access the pop-up menu. That pick list will include employees from your firm and also the IBMers, and you can sort through and query this list. So, for example, if you wanted to search for all the IBM channel reps, you would search on a position field, find position, starting with IBM channel. And you probably want to use some caution in searching based on first name. It's probably best to search on last name instead of first name because, you know, for example, Rick Benedetti is listed here as Richard. You know, is somebody listed as Dave or David? So select the checkbox next to their name and then click OK. So let's continue on slide 44. Once I've added Dave and Rick, they're going to be able to see the opportunity in GPP. IBM channel reps access both GPP and CRM Siebel. IBM channel reps can see your opportunity in GPP as long as you've added to the sales team tab, even if you keep the restriction flags on. If you want to add them to be able to see the record in GPP only, then select the one that says IBM channel rep USIMT. If you want to add an IBMer to see the record in CRM Siebel, then select the one that says relationship rep and IBM CRM and AM. So IBM direct reps will be able to see that record in Siebel, but only if you've removed the restriction flags and also added them to the sales team tab. And again, IBM direct reps and channel reps have view-only access. They cannot make edits to your record. You cannot make an IBMer the primary, so it's not possible for you to pass the lead to the IBMer. But if you need to make somebody else, another employee from your firm, the primary owner, then you would simply tick the primary checkbox to pass ownership of the record to them. Now, occasionally we'll see a partner listed as the primary on the sales team, and they have a blank or missing email address or a missing phone number. That data is fed into this from your partner world profile. So please take a look at your contact information, and if you need help updating it, contact the GPP help desk. Also, do not delete anybody's user profile. If you need to do something like a mass update, like person A left your firm and you need to move all ownership of all of those opportunities to person B, then work with the GPP help desk to make those updates. Let's look at slide 45. You can also set up defaults for your sales team. Every time you create a new opportunity, all of the sales team members specified in opportunity defaults will automatically be added to the sales team of the new opportunity you create. And then you can still add additional other sales team members as you normally would, or delete people. You can delete the defaults later from the sales team tab. So go to user profile, click on opportunity defaults, and then click on the control icon next to the sales team member field, and you'll get the same look and feel pop-up menu that you see here. Select the people that you want, click OK, and then click Save. All right, let's look at slide 46 for another quick way to add IBMers and coworkers from your firm. Now, for those of you on the call who are using the B2B spreadsheet and you're already familiar with using it, this is a method you can use to make multiple updates to your record. You would just insert 5 lines for each opportunity number and then just cut and paste the same email address over and over again. But I noticed later when I was editing my slides that in my mock-up here, I did make a mistake of repeating the address, so ignore my mistake there. But anyway, for those of you who know how to use the B2B spreadsheet tool, you enter the email address, and then once you sync with the GPP host, all of the other fields for position, name, et cetera, will get downloaded into your spreadsheet. So if you have hundreds of opportunity records to update, this is really the quickest way to update all your records. So let's take a look at those sync results on slide 47. So this is what your B2B spreadsheet would look like after you've synced with GPP. Now, there was support for SVI added in the latest release of the B2B spreadsheet in July. But unfortunately, some folks on this call are probably under, you know, had the wrong expectations for this spreadsheet. It is not a graphical front end, and it is not a replacement to the GPP tool. It is simply designed to be a programming interface between your CRM system and ours. I personally think it's just as complex, if not more so, to learn the B2B spreadsheet functions than it is to just learn how to navigate the GPP tool. Where it's going to save you time is in doing mass updates to hundreds of records. So if you've got hundreds of approved eligible opportunities and you need to add IBM channel reps to all of those opportunities, this is the method to do it. Now, I've shown you 5 different ways to add your IBM channel rep to the sales team tab. So I think you can see the message here is that your IBM channel rep needs to be added to all of your software opportunities. They need to be able to work with you on forecasting, so please take the time to add them to your opportunity records. You know, your channel rep cannot help to advise you on issues if they can't see your opportunities. Go to slide 48. Okay, let's review what we've done so far. We've created a draft header record. We've added an account, a description, sales stage. Now would be a good time to change that sales stage from 1 to 4. We've selected confidential checkboxes and an odds percentage. Then we stepped through each of the applicable tabs on the bottom half of the screen. We checked our account name and address on the More Info tab. We added revenue. We uploaded our BANT attachment. We added a customer executive to the Contact tab. And we added additional coworkers and IBMers to the sales team tab. So make sure everything is as you want it. Once you've submitted this for SVI eligibility, no further updates are permitted to the name and address, description, or brand name field. Then we'll click on the SVI tab, and at the top of the screen on the SVI header, we'll see a button for Submit for Eligibility. We click on that button to submit the opportunity to IBM for review. Let's go to slide 49. Once we've clicked the Submit for Eligibility button, the SVI status changes from Draft to Duplicate Opportunity Search, and the Submit Date for SVI Eligibility and Expiration Date fields will be system-generated. If we have to return your opportunity to Draft, your Submit Date field is wiped out, and your 15-day clock would start again once you resubmit that opportunity record. And again, if additional revenue records are desired or changes to the above fields are required, you would instead need to create and submit a new record for SVI eligibility. Go to slide 50. Now, at this point, you've submitted the opportunity to IBM for review, and these are the steps that we perform. Chris went through an explanation of the duplicate search process that you see on slide 51 on yesterday's call, so I'm not going to spend time repeating that here. Let's go to slide 52. Once IBM has made a decision and processed your opportunity, we'll update the overall SVI status on your record, which will trigger a system-generated email to be sent to the primary contact on the sales team tab. So you have to give some thought to who you want to be that primary. If we need to contact anyone with questions or issues about an opportunity, we only go to the primary. And that person needs to be responsible for communicating to the rest of your firm and following up with us. So for this reason, many partners choose to share to set up a shared generic email inbox. So you might want to give that some thought. Let's look at slide 53. Okay, we've been approved. We've received that automated email notice. And, you know, a common error is that new partners confuse the word full participation with ID and cell and partial participation with cell only. But the words full and partial have to do with the number of line items that were approved and have nothing to do with the incentive fee type. Once you get that email, or even beforehand, what you need to do is open up your opportunity record and look at the SVI tab to see the SVI status and the incentive fee type. And I'll show you later how you can pull these key fields into your main opportunity list view and also extract that into a spreadsheet. Look at slide 54. Okay, so we've been approved. We've executed the sales cycle, closed the deal, and now we want to get paid. You can submit your payment request a maximum of either 30 days prior to or 60 days after the sales order close date, and also it needs to be prior to the opportunity expiration date. We need to update our GPP record, attach our sales documentation, and then submit the payment request online. So you're going to go to the Attachments tab and upload your supporting sales documentation, unless, of course, it qualifies as a VAP transaction or for the small deal documentation waiver. Next, we need to go to the Revenue tab, and I need to update the bill date field here. A lot of partners neglect to do this, you know, probably thinking that if I've updated the date field on the header record, that it would update here as well, but it doesn't. You have to update the date in both places. Same thing, again, with the odds. You have to update the odds here to 100% for the closed item. Now, recall earlier, on my example, I wasn't eligible for the two Lotus line items because one I wasn't certified in and one was denied as a duplicate. So I'm going to update those two line items to $0 and 0% because I'm not claiming them. Now, you want to go back to the SVI eligible part list and see how what you sold aligns with what you registered and update the revenue totals to be as close as possible to the sales order. So I've looked up the parts on my sales order that I proposed to my customer, and I've adjusted my initial $20,000 estimate to $23,250 and my $10,000 line item to $7,500. Once your opportunity has been submitted for payment request, no further updates are permitted to the quantity, price per unit, or total revenue. But IBM does apply a maximum of a 25% uplift to the revenue that you claim to account for any possible data entry errors that you might make. So, for example, if you've claimed $100,000 and the sales order was actually $90,000, the fees, of course, would be based on the actual sold $90,000. If you claimed $100,000 and the sales order was actually $115,000, we would apply that maximum 25% uplift cushion, and your fees would be based on the whole 115K amount. But if you claimed 100K and the sales order was actually 140K, the fees would be based on 125K because you would max out of the 25% uplift. So I guess if you're going to make an error, it's probably best to make an error on the high side. But you know, we also don't want you to claim 100K if it was only, you know, 10K. You know, remember, only new license revenue. Do not include renewals and don't include hardware or your services. So the sales order might have been 100K, including renewals, but if there's only 10K of new license revenue, then claim 10K, not 100K. So let's go to slide 55. All right, I've added my attachments, updated my revenue, and now there's some additional fields I need to update on the header. Enter the passport information if you have it. Change the sale stage from 4 to 7, which is 1. Update the decision date. The invoice date field is optional, but that can help us find the sales order. You want to change the odds to 100%, but that appears on the header in the other view. And if you have the sales order number, please add that to the SVI comments field. You're going to save all of your changes and then click on Submit for Payment Request. The overall SVI status will update from waiting order validation, from eligible full participation to waiting order validation, and a submit date for payment request timestamp will be system generated. Let's go to slide 56. When your overall SVI status changes to waiting order validation, we start to look for a matching sales order. We only match one sales order to one opportunity record. Now, we can also allow a single sales order to be matched against multiple opportunity records, so that's okay, but what we can't do is multiple sales orders to a single opportunity. The only exception we make to this rule is if those multiple sales orders were all placed on the same day as part of the same deal, because sometimes a special bid process can force the order entry into two sales orders because of how the discounts are applied. But if you have a customer who wants to trickle in 100 purchase orders for $100 each, you're instead going to need to convince them to place that as a single 10K order in order to be eligible. Now let's look at slide 57. Okay, the sales order will be fully evaluated once that opportunity moves to the reviewing payment rule step, but here's some of the issues that can affect the sales order eligibility. What brand family do the part numbers on the sales order belong to compared to what was registered? For example, if this partner sold Quikr, that wouldn't be eligible because that wasn't an approved brand family on this opportunity record. Is the submit timestamp 15 days prior to the sales order date? Was the payment request no more than 60 days after the sales order date, and is it also prior to the expiration date? Who was this sold to? Is it the same customer name that was registered? Did you list that alternate name on your BANT form? Is it a government account? Until the sales order closes and we have a final actual contract to look at, we can't make the final review. Also, you need to be cautious in the case of license compliance. If it turns out that the purchase order was related to a compliance settlement, the licenses are not going to be eligible for SVI fees. So let's look at slide 58. Now, Chris also reviewed sales documentation on yesterday's call, so if you missed that, please check out the replay. So I won't spend time covering that here, and I've also included detail in the backup slides on the topic of sales documentation. So let's look at slide 60. These are the processing steps or stages that your opportunity is going to pass through and what we look at during each step of the process. If a sales order is found and your documentation is acceptable, your opportunity will progress to approved and then paid. If there is a problem with your opportunity at the reviewing payment rule step, the GPP system is going to code it as denied for payment processing or as not payable. So, for example, if it was VAP and sell only, that's going to be coded as not payable. At the approved for payment step, the fees will be calculated and approval will be sent to our accounts payable department. And we also have an online fee statement that you can look up detailed information on the payment received. So let's look at slide 60. Now, you also have to submit that payment request prior to the expiration date. If your opportunity has expired, but you're still engaged, and then weeks later you realize your error, in the meantime, someone else could have been approved for that opportunity. Your opportunity has an initial life of 270 calendar days, or about 9 months, and you can request a single 3-month extension for any opportunity that is currently in eligible full or eligible partial participation status. So let's go to slide 61. Now, there's no requirement for how far in advance you need to submit your request, but in general, we recommend sometime around 30 days prior to its expiration. So I've submitted my opportunity. I've been approved. My expiration date was set to 9 months from now, or let's say May 30th of 2011 in this example. And let's say today's date is May 1st, 2011, and I know I'm not going to close this opportunity within 30 days, so I need an extension. I'm going to click on the Software Value Incentive tab and click on the Show List arrow, which is immediately below and to the left of that tab. And the default initially is Show Revenue, and I'm going to change that to Show Request Expiration Extension, and then I get the pop-up menu. I'm going to click New, and there's only two fields required here, the new expiration date that you desire, and pick 3 months from the current expiration date. And then just write a simple sentence for the justification. You can write something as simple as, you know, I need more time to close this. You don't need to provide any documentation or attachments, just a simple sentence asking for more time, and then click Save. So next, let's look at slide 62 to see what our screen looks like once we've clicked that Save button. Save updates that extension request to a draft status. We need to click the Submit button to send the request to IBM, and that then updates the request to pending status. If it's still sitting in draft, you haven't submitted it to us, so make sure it's pending. Once IBM approves it, you'll see the status column here change to approved, and then once it's approved, the new expiration date will be displayed here and also on the header record. Let's go to slide 63. Okay, so what if I don't need an expiration extension? What if I'm just no longer pursuing an opportunity or I'm not planning to claim payment? So, you know, maybe we closed the deal, but I don't have the documentation that's needed, or, you know, maybe the licenses were purchased from my customer's overseas office, or, you know, maybe I was approved for an opportunity, but I fulfilled it with a VAP solution, you know, so I don't bother submitting it for payment because I know I'm not going to get paid. Well, even if you're not going to submit a payment claim, it's very important for you to still update the record to sales stage 7 and 100% odds to let us know that it has closed. And that's very important for building your lead pass decision engine statistics. You know, that's part of the OM function that's going to affect what you have in SVI. You know, because if you just leave an old opportunity out there that's not going to expire for 9 months, you know, in the meantime, you could be unfairly blocking another partner from being approved for a new opportunity at the account. You wouldn't want other folks to inadvertently be blocking you, so you also need to make the effort to clean up your pipeline and not block other partners from deals you are no longer pursuing. So I'm going to ask everybody listening to this call, please review all of your opportunities that are in eligible participation. Ask your sales reps, is this still a good opportunity? Are you still pursuing this? If it is, make sure that the odds and decision date and revenue have been updated to reflect its current status. If it's no longer being pursued, then please send us an email and withdraw from that opportunity. Now, keep in mind that when you code something as sales stage 7-1 or sales stage 7-11, sales stage 11, that will trigger it to flow to Siebel. So if it's just a bad record and not lost to competition, you don't want to mark it as sales stage 7 because it's going to flow to Siebel. In the case of a bad record, then just mark it as 0% odds and $0 and request that the status be updated to withdrawn, and we can close it out. All right, let's go to slide 64. And I'm still talking, and we're at close to the hour and a half mark. Okay. So we've now got all of this data. We've got all of these opportunity records in the GPP tool. How do I manage it? You know, we get all sorts of questions. What's my status? Is my opportunity approved? What am I approved for? When did my timestamp begin? So let's take a look at some opportunity views and queries that are available to help you manage your opportunities. Let's take a look at slide 65. Now, you're going to do the vast majority of your work in GPP from the main opportunities tab. There's two key drop-down menus from this main opportunities list view that you will use on this screen. You have opportunity views and queries. So we'll start by looking at the various opportunity views that are available. The default is My Opportunities, and those are opportunities that you have created. You can switch to one of the other views. For example, All Opportunities are opties that you created along with opportunities that where you have been added to a sales team tab, or, for example, if you are the manager. If you are set up as the manager role, then your default should be All Opportunities. The My Opportunity Registration and All Opportunity Registration options here are what are used for the ISF and VAP for Government programs. So we won't go into that today, but if you're participating in those programs, those are the choices you want to use to isolate your view of just those opportunities. And you can edit the columns displayed on each of these opportunity views, which we'll get into in a moment. Now, opportunity views control which records you see. Queries, which are on the, you see that drop-down menu on the right-hand side of the screen, queries control which records with particular content in them that you see. So let's take a look at those available queries on the next slide, 66. I've got a pretty gory detailed here of the definition of all of those predefined queries. And you can read the details here. So, for example, I want a view of all of my opportunities that were submitted for SVI. I'm going to use the query called SVI Registered Opportunities, because if something's still in draft or was never submitted, it's not going to be in that view. Or maybe if I want a quick list of all of my opportunities with impending expiration dates, there's a query called SVI Expiring Within 30 Days. There's also some queries there that you could use for the bid cert and OM programs. You know, one thing I forgot to include in the slide deck, which is hard to believe with 95 slides, but on that main opportunity list view, there's a query button. And if you click on that and you can execute a simple query, you know, just like if you want to cut and paste an opportunity number into that field and then click the Go button. But there's also another button called Query Assistant where you can run your own query, make it maybe a more complex query. Like maybe I want a list of all of my opportunities in Ohio that are a sales stage 4 and have a status of eligible participation. So once I get that personal query looking the way that I want, I can save that query with a unique name. And then my saved query will also appear on this query's drop-down list. And then I can re-execute my personalized custom query over and over again. And you'll see links throughout this presentation to the GPP online help files, and you can find more details there about how to run predefined queries and also how you can store your own queries. So let's take a look at slide 67. Another way to manage data is by using the business partner opportunity number field. You can enter any alphanumeric value you desire, something perhaps that is more meaningful to you than our system-generated, you know, 1JFABC123. You know, maybe you want to enter a specific sales rep's name or a manager's name or perhaps something like Western Region, as I've done in this example. Maybe you want to enter a corresponding number from your internal CRM system, or, you know, maybe you want to give yourself a reminder of which program you've submitted this record for. You know, I know of at least one partner that enters, you know, BCC, SVI, VAP Government as their keywords in this field to give them some additional sorting and searching options when they do queries. And then going back to our earlier discussion on the B2B spreadsheet, maybe you want to do a mass update using B2B to add a business partner opportunity number field rather than drilling down individually to each record over and over again. So the BP Opti number field is accessed from the Sales Team tab. You need to start by clicking on the Sales Team control icon to get to the team member's pop-up applet, and enter whatever you like. Click OK, then Save, and then the data that you entered will appear on the opportunity header record, and you can also edit your columns displayed in your main opportunities list view to include this BP Opti number field. Again, make the field anything you like, and then sort and search on it. So let's take a look at slide 68. I am continually surprised at the number of SVI partners I talk to who have been using GPP for a long time, and they've never edited their choices for their columns displayed. The default columns that are displayed when you go into any of these multiple queries or views include many, many fields that are not applicable to the SVI program. So you need to edit your columns displayed and select the key fields that are applicable for SVI opportunities and get rid of all of the other fields that might cause confusion. You know, this is a common error for new users who have never edited their view. You know, they look at the GPP Opti Accept Status column, which is used for the OM program. The only status field that is applicable for SVI opportunities is the overall SVI status. So make sure you see that on your main list view. You can edit columns displayed on each of these views, the My Opportunities, the All Opportunities, the My Pipeline. There are also columns displayed editing choices on many of the tabs, such as the Revenue tab. So, for example, if you're just a USA partner, you know, you can probably get rid of the U.S. dollar currency column, and that would save yourself a little bit of real estate space on the on your display screen. The buttons that you see in the center of this pop-up are to add and remove fields by moving them from the right to the left side, and then you can choose what order you want them to display on the screen by using the set of buttons on the right side. So let's take a look at my editing results on slide 69. So now I've got a customized SVI view for all of my key fields. I can see the opportunity number, my internal Opti number that I added, my overall SVI status, my submit date, my expiration date. So now you're thinking, well, this is a good view, but I still have to open up that record to see if that eligible full participation was ID and cell or cell only, and what was the brand family on that particular record. So let's take a look at slide 70. In the new release of GPP from July, we added several additional SVI-specific fields to the My Opportunities pipeline view. On the Show menu dropdown, you'll need to switch to the My Opportunities pipeline view, and you'll edit your columns displayed choices here. You have to make unique column displayed edits in each of the views. And this is where you'll find the choices to add things like the brand family, the SVI status, the incentive fee type, the passport number. This view is by revenue line item. Compared to the one that we just looked at, the My Opportunities view is overall SVI status. This My Pipeline view is status by revenue line item. So notice on the screenshot here, there's two line items for the same opportunity number, but that's because there was two different brand families on this opportunity record, one for Tivoli Automation, one for Data Management. So this view will display a line item for each unique brand family and the values associated with it, whether it was ID and cell or cell only, et cetera. So now I've got all of this great data, and I want to share it. So let's take a look at slide 71 to see how we extract it. Once I have a view on my screen that I want to extract, I simply go to the menu dropdown, scroll down the list, and select Export. And that gives me a pop-up window where I can make some choices about which columns and rows I want to export. And then I click on Next. And, you know, from there on out, it's a standard Windows menu to choose a comma or tab delimited file and bring that into an Excel spreadsheet. So that's a slide. Let's go to slide 72. That's our last one. I have talked nonstop here. Now, if it's possible that there's anything I haven't covered, let's open it up to questions. And while we're waiting for people to join the queue, I'll just add that the rest of the slides in this deck are supplemental and reference information, much of which was covered by Chris in yesterday's SVI update calls. But I've also got several additional backup slides here with, you know, additional information and links for GPP education and certifications and program rules and the BANT form and sales documentation requirements. And I've got a chart with emails and phone numbers, contact for the SVI team. So you've got all of that reference material available for you. So with that, do we have any calls in the queue?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. Your name is required to introduce your question. Once again, if anyone would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. One moment, please, while we wait for our first question. Our first question today is from Carlos Castaneda. Your line's open.
Yes, actually, my question is like for an extension regarding SVI, economic conditions being what they are, I have a certain customer that basically their project due to personnel change and, you know, project being delayed, funding and stuff like that, they've reached their time limit on IBM's deadline regarding SVI enrollment. So our expiration date is coming due. They are still interested in the product, but 3 months isn't going to be sufficient for an extension. At that point, what is the process for the business partner community to do in a situation like this?
Well, certainly there can be sales cycles that are going to take more than a year, and what you would do is before the opportunity expires, you would submit a replacement record and make a reference to your existing opportunity number, and in your new BANT, include an explanation of the continuing sales cycle, and we would review your new submission, and then you would have a new opportunity possibly approved for another 9 months with another 3 month possible extension to that.
But the first step would definitely be to go ahead and file for an exception, and then thereafter go ahead and request a replacement record, or to go for the replacement record first?
The extension is easier to do.
I'm sorry?
This is Chris. I'm just going to jump in. Mary's probably tired of talking. A three-month extension is much easier to do than putting in a whole new opportunity. So if they think it's going to close within the next 3 months, I would just suggest that they go that route. If they still need additional time, they can enter a new opportunity.
Oh, okay. So it would be either or. It's not a set rule that one or the other. Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thank you very much, Chris. I very much appreciate it.
Sure.
Our next question is from Kelly Wilson. Your line's open.
Hi. So I'm asking this on somebody else's behalf. So it says, sometimes IBM reps ask us to create the SIBO record via our GPP entry and want us to add them to our record. It seems that we're not able to do that. Is there a way for our GPP 1JF number to act as the CRM SIBO record for the IBM sales team?
When opportunity records that you create will always start with 1JF. The opportunities that an IBMer creates and passes ownership to you typically will be formatted, you know, 2- and then a 6-7-digit alphanumeric. By sharing, you know, we talked quite a bit there about sharing your opportunity and removing those restriction flags. If you create it in Global Partner Portal and remove those checkboxes and add the IBM rep's name to the sales team tab, then your record will flow to the CRM Siebel system. So at that point, you can tell the IBM direct rep the opportunity number is, you know, 1JF ABC123. Can you not see it in your view? And, you know, then maybe we look into, you know, there's some issue with the flow between the systems. But by adding their name and removing the restriction flags, that should be visible to that IBMer in the CRM Siebel system.
Okay. Thank you.
We have no other questions at this time.
Mary, you did a great job of being very complete. We thank the audience who is still left for listening in today. I know that we've introduced a lot of material or reviewed a lot of material with you. If you you know, have questions, please follow up with us. But hopefully we've given you everything you need to be successful with CPP. Thanks again for joining us, and thank you, Mary, for your very detailed presentation.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.